The recording's on, Rebbe. I'm traveling. I just started recording.
What?
I started the recording. The recording's on.
Okay. We left off yesterday, just a little bit of Shiraim of the previous ago. So we're talking about what is the Shiar Tzirah in terms of a time frame. How much time must one consume X amount of beverage in order to recite a bracha achrona? Now, what that X was also four different opinions, like kizayis, kibbeitz, malubim, whatever the amount, the number of ounces is, what is the time frame? So this was a major dispute between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Kippurim suggests that when we're dealing with beverages, we're dealing with mashkin, then the shiur becomes kadesh shtias revias, the amount of time it takes for a normal person not pausing to drink a revias. And according to most of the other Rishonim, the shiur is kadechilas pras. The same way that we have a halacha Moshe Mesinai in tziruf of achilos, that number carries over to mashkin as well. And whatever that number was, whether it was 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever the particular number was, that is going to carry over to Mashkin also. So the Ram pointed out at the end of the shiur yesterday that this machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim, seems to be an explicit Gemara. The Gemara is talking about how much a person has to drink in order to become tamid. It's a din mid rabbanan that if you drink mashkin tamayin, you become tamid. You have to go to the mikvah. The Gemara says that's only true if you drink the mashkin tamayin or revias within a certain time. And the Gemara says explicitly the time is kedechelos pras. The Gemara is black and white that the magic number of tziruf mashkin is kedechelos pras. So what is the Rambam veer from the Gemara? So we began at the very end of the shiur yesterday to put forth the beer of the Aruch HaNer in the sugya. So HaNer explained that there are two different kinds of shiurim, two different almost reasons why we're measuring time frame in terms of nefilas and shtiyas. One is objective. There is shiurim in halacha. Go ask Akasha why the shiur is kedayis. Go ask Akasha why the shiur is dalalabas. Why the shiur is three tefachim. That's the way it doesn't correspond to anything that we know of in this world. And those are objective shiurim. The other shiurim that very much are in sync with the physical reality. So comes the Aruch HaNer and says, when we're dealing with Hilchas Tumah, so Chazal Misaken that if you drink X amount of beverage in X amount of time, you become tummy. Do those numbers correspond to anything? Those are called the Tikkun Rabbanan, the Rice Tikkun, Chazal picked whatever the Shiurim deraisa are. So Chazal padded the Rabbanan after those numbers. There's no rhyme and reason, there's no connection, no physical manifestation of a Shiur. But, says the Aruch HaNer, when we're dealing with being Chayv and Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur has very much to do with a physical reality. Everything revolves around the words, Inui, Kichlo, Nefesh, also Una. So the Gemara says that's in fact the reason why the Shia for Achilles is not Kazayas. The Shia for Achilles in Yom Kippur is more than a Kazayas. The Shia of Achilles in Yom Kippur is always looked at through the eyes, through the lens of, is this benefiting the person or not? Is he enjoying this or is he not? So comes Aruch HaNer and says, and when it comes to Hilchus Tumah, very, very rigid, objective, black and white, halakhic categories, so the shiur that we use is Kedechelos Pras. That's the shiur tziruf that was given to Moshe Ben Hasina. Don't ask any questions. But when we're trying to figure out, did the person enjoy the drink or not? How do you measure whether the person enjoyed the drink? You're going to invoke a shiur of Ochlin? Okay. How long does it take to eat the six bananas? That's how long, that's when you enjoyed your soda now. The way to determine whether you enjoy the soda is that you drink it like a normal person drinks soda. So those shiurim are liquid shiurim. Those are beverage shiurim. Those are aviastic shiurim. That's why the Rambam veers and says that in areas of halacha which are objective, then we go with an objective shiur techos pras. But areas of halacha that are more subjective, try to determine did the person enjoy or not, so then the shiur is going to be based on the beverage proper, not on some theoretical, you know, ironclad rule. So Allah must say quote the dechelis press. So now, following that line of reasoning, says the Rambam there, what other area of halacha do we have where shiurim are very, very important, but we're going to use a liquid shiur, a hanodik shiur, much more than a solid halacha must say ironclad rule. It says the Achoner, Huchas Brachas is much closer in the bottle to Yom Kippur than it is to Huchas Tumah. The idea of Huchas Brachas, you recite a Bracha Corona. Why do you recite a Bracha Corona? Because you chalta v'savalta, because you enjoyed it. Now again, if you enjoy even the smallest amount, you have to recite a Bracha Rishon. That's also one of the believe Bracha. That's true. But Bracha Corona is also a Bracha that relates to enjoyment. It's a little bit more enjoyment. You have to have a more. So Midaraisi, you have to have Kidei Sviya, Midarabon, and you have to have Kizayis. But whatever it is, it's involving, it's revolving around a personal being satisfied, satiation, what you ate or what you drank. So for those kind of halachas, argues the Aruch HaNer, Hilchos Yom Kippur, Hilchos Brachos, then we're going to invoke the beverage shiurim, because ultimately, if you drank a revius, b'chdei revius, so that's considered to be a geshmak. If you drank a revius spread out over the course of 9 minutes, b'dechelos pras, what does b'dechelos pras have to do with determining what the derech of shtiyah is all about? So he's saying, Yom Kippur is the exception, and brachos follows Yom Kippur. Right, look at that, the brachos, we have three cases on the table. We have Ochel Tumayin, we have Yom Kippur, we have Brachas. So we know the Gemara says one thing about Tuma, the Rambam says something else about Yom Kippur. Now the question is, when is Brachas, which one is Brachas closer to? So that's what the Ochel Nur claims, that Brachas is much closer in model to Yom Kippur, because that's much more of a Sviya, Hanor, Yishevadas kind of halacha. But the problem is the Rambam is talking about the whole topic, right? Rambam doesn't not talk about the topic, right? This is all assuming this is the Beis Yosef's version of what the Rambam said, right? Right. The Rambam does not say one way, doesn't say the other way. So there's one last tikkun of the sugya. That's a fascinating question that is raised by the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech is one of the many achronim who raised it, one of the earlier ones who spoke about this. We take a look at the 13th of the Marmakovas. Shamati ba'omrim li, a very strange way of introducing a phrase. That's a paraphrase, not a tilam. Shamati only days Hashem neilech. So shamati ba'omrim li shall shtias ha'kofi. In case you weren't sure what that meant, it means coffee. So mevarchi la'acharav, you recite a bracha corona if you have a cup of coffee. V'yaf al pishiyesh mitchilus ha'shtia tzav ha'shtia yos mitech shtias shrivias. O yos mitech lish pras. L'mach nisle l'mach nisle. Says the Mishnah Melech, if a person has a hot cup of coffee, does he or does he not recite a bracha acharona? So now, depending on what you think the shir tziruf is, whether you think the tziruf is kadei shir tziruf, or whether you think the tziruf of time is kecheles bras, the odds are that a cup of coffee didn't meet either one of those two numbers. A person is drinking, enjoying, you know, sitting and listening to a shir, having his cup of coffee for the span of a half hour. So wait a second, does he recite a bracha acharona? So how come Mishnah Melech is the first one to talk about this topic? Mishnah Melech was 1600. How come the Rishonim didn't talk about this topic? The answer is very simple. The Rishonim never saw coffee, never heard of coffee. How they stayed up during one said, I can't tell you, but they didn't have they never heard of coffee. Coffee was something from the New World. So that's why you don't find anywhere in the Rishonim to talk about it. Later, all of a sudden, after 1492, all of a sudden everybody starts to discover coffee. Everyone starts to talk about coffee.
They produce in the Middle East.
It could be, but I don't think the Rishonim in Europe they're not having. No, the Balei Tosfos never sell coffee, but the Rambam sell coffee. I don't know because I can't tell you. I don't know.
But you think you can die from this that's right.
Yeah, you're probably right. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says that there were those who wanted to argue. But the answer is yes. You do recite a bracha korona and coffee. Why is that? Shadi ocha bishum de derech shi yos tibikach. That's normal. That's how you drink coffee. Um it starif av shi yish yos tibikashir mitchil shtir rishat zav shnech korona. So in one fell swoop, these earlier korona, Mishnah Melech is referencing, are saying that the entire shiur of Kdechas Pras, Kdechas Viz, what is that for? What is the purpose? What's the goal of that shiur? The goal of that shiur is to gauge, are you consuming the food or the beverage in a normal way, in a normal manner? If you take a sip now, and then 3 hours later, another sip, and 10 hours later, tomorrow you take another sip, that's the derech shtia of a cup of soda. But when it comes to coffee, that is the way you drink it. If you try to drink your hot coffee in one shot, you're going to burn your tongue. So the derech shtia also is to drink it, you know, sip a little bit over the course of a half hour. So I'll use the Mishnah Melech, I'll use some of these Acharon in the Mishnah Melech, that maybe that status of Derech Shtiyos Mekach is enough to require a Bracha Korda. But Lee Nira says in the Mishnah Melech, I don't think those Acharon are right. The Chiluk Zeleis, why is this distinction not correct? Rai Rashi Kaz Rabbein Zav Sofer Ches Bichu Shara Vosatubes. Based on a Rambam about the sugya of Tumas Mashkin, Rizal Shono, the Rambam got this right out of the Gemara Maseches Krisus. Isha she risho the tuma. If a woman is a risho the tuma, so she cannot spread that tuma to another person by touching him, but she can potentially spread it the following way: Menika esbina. She happens to be nursing her child. So if you think about it, when she's nursing her child, the milk's coming out of her body. The milk is touching her body. The milk is becoming a sheni lituma. The child is drinking that milk, so the child is consuming tummy beverages, which would make him a candidate for that didmid de rabbanon of mavshose mashkin tameim, the gemara that we spoke about at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So the Mishnah Melech quotes this rabbam, who's quoting it from the gemara Masechta Krisus, that in fact that is not the case. That is an incorrect application of this sugya. Hareha ben tohor. The child is tahor, below gozu alaf tuma, shafilu toma shenak revias. Even if it's true that the child drank a revias, now again, as we said, if you drink less than a revias, so the gezeirah was never made. So when did the child drink more than a revias or less? Unclear. But even if he did, it's very possible, says the Rav, I'm quoting Gemara Krisus, that it took more than the shear of Kedei Achilles Pras, the 5-9 minutes, whatever it is, for that drinking revias to take place. The child is not drinking, slurping right all at once. It's stopping and starting. It takes a little baby mouth. So it's taking a while for it to get the point of drinking revias. Therefore, the Gemara says the odds are it did not have the amount of milk within the amount of time. Now, the truth is, we don't know that for certain, the Gemara says. Nobody's sitting there with a gauge or with a monitor to figure out how much is being drank at any given amount of time. But the Gemara says it's unlikely. It's unlikely that he had a revias bechtechilas pras. Now, wait a second. It says, Mishnah Melech, why does the Gemara give the shear of kedechilas pras? Regabi yenika shederach diyos bekach. Vafiluachi amru shemiyesh b'chil v'atzof yotzach pras emitztarev. Says the Mishnah Melech, wait a second. A baby nursing, that's the halakh equivalent of drinking a hot cup of coffee. That even though it's true on the clock, the time is passing and it's more than 9 minutes, but since that's derech shtiyos bekach, why doesn't that alter anything? You see, from here, says the Mishnah Melech, that your personal drinking habits, even though it's derech shtiyos bekach, that doesn't impact on the shear. The shear, this year is an objective magic number of kedech lespras. Don't ask any kashas. Don't bring any exceptions. Don't tell me a maisa that you're sipping your coffee at leisure for an hour. It's irrelevant. Raya brewer for the case of the baby, says the Mishnah Melech, v'zeh toshet. He says it is obvious that those acharonim are not correct. Now, those Acharonim were quite a few of them, and some big, big names were actually disagreed with what the Mishnah Melech is saying. Years, less centuries later, the Birchas Chinuch is one of those who disagreed. The Briska Rav was one of those who disagreed. There were some quite prominent Acharonim who actually held that the Shemati probably were correct, that there is that law called Derech Shtiyos Bekach, and Derech Shtiyos Bekach trumps the requirement of the Kedech Lespras. Oh, we get to that. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Right. It's very, very much related to that task, right? It's the same svar, it's the same idea, right? So what is the Bira Dover? Why do these Acharon disagree with this Raya? The Raya sounds like it's a pretty ironclad Raya. So in that same piece, the Aruch Haner explains to defend those who disagree with the Mishnah Melech. Says the Aruch Haner, that idea of Shtiyos Mekach, that's the way people do it. What kind of a reason is that? What kind of a svar is that? Says the Aruch Haner, That makes sense if we're dealing with an area of halacha that revolves around hanon, it revolves around enjoyment, it revolves around satiation. Someone can argue, if this is the way people eat it, this is the way people drink it, this is the daka b'kach, this is what gives me the hanon. I enjoy a hot cup of coffee spread out over the course of a half hour. I don't particularly enjoy burning my mouth. So therefore, argues the Rechaneh, when you're dealing with the halacha that revolves around the hanos, inyon, so then the shear of changing it according to the food and drink, taka makes sense. If you're dealing with an objective shear, we don't ask you, the din is dalad amos. Well, for me, 2.5 amos is good enough. I like 2.5 amos. For me, most people are 10 tfachim. Well, for me, it's taka makach to live at 8 tfachim. Those are not the way the halacha works. There's an objective shear that was nimsa, either the Moshe Rabbeinu, Baradiraisa, or was instituted by the Chacham Baradindirabbanan. That shit doesn't change according to the beverage or the food. So says the Rechaneh, an ilchus tumas, which we said a moment ago, is a function of an objective ironclad shear. That's the way it is. Don't ask any kashas. It doesn't change for a high cup of coffee. But a shear of brachas, or for that matter, a shear of Yom Kippur, those are shear that can change. And that's what the Mechaschinuch and the Biskarov and many Menachorim say, the shear changes. But if you have a particular food that's darker makach to eat spread out, the person is eating a bowl of ice cream. But most people don't gobble down that. It takes it a little bit to brain freeze. People take a little bit of time to eat the cold foods. People take a little bit of time to eat the hot soup. They take a little bit of time to drink the hot coffee. So since that's the darker makach, therefore the shear shifts and changes with the darker makach. But argues the Ochlania, the shear can only change, that notion that the shear can change, that's only true in those areas of halacha that revolve around hanor, i.e. Yom Kippur and brachas. They don't impact the chastuma. That's why the Gemara is not a kasha to this yisrael. So as real is correct, this is very close to what the Taz said. It's not identical. The Taz that we spoke about earlier, so the Taz says that even the shear revias may change for if it's darker bakach. Schnapps, it's darker bakach to drink an ounce of schnapps. People view an ounce of schnapps like 4 ounces of wine. That's the derech ha'olam. And therefore, the Taz wanted to argue, you can make a bracha chorona even a less than the shear because of that. So this is close to that. It's a similar idea. The Taz was talking about the volume of the drink proper. We're talking about the time frame. So it's not exactly the same thing, but it's definitely ke'ein the idea. It's definitely a similar kind of an idea that shirum dam sometimes will change. So how do we pass it on this shayla? This is a real shayla. So yesh v'yesh. So the Mishnah Bura, when he quotes this question of the Mishnah Melech, he leaves it hanging. Mishnah Bura says he can't be mechri. He's not going to decide for you whether to make a bracha chorona, a cup of coffee. So the Mishnah Bura writes that if you want to fulfill all possibilities, you'll save 3 ounces at the bottom when it's cold and drink it down right away. Most people don't like to do that. By the time the coffee gets cold, they like to throw it out. So the Mishnah Bura recommends to do that. And other chorona are making that right, that one can recite a bracha. That this svara of these yesh omer that Mishnah Melech deflects is actually a very, very compelling svara. It's quoted the name of the Brisker Rav. It's quoted the Sefer, the Brisker Agoda. There was an Agoda that was put out about 40 years ago or so called the Agoda Beis Levi. It was all kind of different Shtikl Torahs and Dinim and Hugim. They were quoted from the Briskers, from the Beis Levi, from Chayim, from the Brisker Rav. And in addition to all the Shtikl Torahs, so usually in every part of the Seder, they'll tell you a few little odds and ends, the different kapedas, the tekumbas, the fechitas that they used to follow in Beis Brisk. So at the end of the Seder, it has what the practice of the Brisker Rav was after the Seder was over, what drinks he permitted to drink. So the Gemara says, you're not supposed to lose the time of the afikoman, you're supposed to eat and drink things afterwards, but you're allowed to drink water after the Seder. So the Brisker Rav, you're allowed to drink tea also. I don't think he had such fancy mint, flavored teas in the brisket. Cheapy kind of a tea. He felt that was okay. And they write that the Brisker Rav himself used to take a cup of tea after the Seder was over. And then at the end, this is not doing his Pesach, at the end he would say, even if it took longer than a few minutes to drink it, because he was of the opinion that the Ikra Din is actually against this Mishnah Melech. The Ikra Din is that Daka Bekach, like the Mechas Chinuch, actually does make a difference.
This is the first time that he drank a hot beverage at the time that Mishnah Melech had soup for thousands of people. Same question, no?
I'm not sure that people had soup out of the context of a meal. I'm not sure how often people were making bracha chorones on soup. I mean, in the olden days, every meal you ate bread because there was very, very little food to eat. So I'm not sure. I don't know what other. I'm trying to think back in the day. What hot drinks did people? Tea also didn't come until later. No one knew about tea until it came, made its way from China to Rishon. I don't think I had tea. The Achronim talk about tea, but I don't recall any Rishon talking about tea. Hot water.
How'd they get hot water?
Yeah, you have to heat up the water. You have to cook up water. Right, you have to cook up water.
They were up two stones again.
And okay, we have to make a study of the development, the introduction of coffee into Jewish life. Okay. 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 All right. Okay.
It did
begin really. But again, I
as early as the 8th century.
Really interesting. Okay. I don't know which part. I don't know where, which parts of the can get. The Jews were not in Arabia, so I'm not sure exactly where it's there were Jews in Arabia. The Tamanim were in Arabia. Could be they did have coffee. But I don't remember any Rishon talking about the coffee. The only Rishon, the only Acharon were the early Acharon. Okay, ready to start the next sugya. So the next sugya appears on Adav. Actually, not in the Gemara. It actually appears in the Tosfos. Tosfos makes reference to Rishalmi. So, Tosfos, the first of the Maamar Kamos. So, the Od Yesh Rishalmi. Tosfos says, it's a statement of Rishalmi in the Sixth Pet with Sechus Brachas. Hecha de Baruch Atermusa Lebichle. A person takes this food called the Turmus. Now, what exactly is turmus? Some kind of a vegetable. It doesn't really matter what it is for our purposes. The guy takes a carrot and he's about to make he makes a brach on it. But not for me, Yade. And as soon as he finishes Bore Pri Adama, he drops the carrot. And apparently the carrot gets inedible at that point. But the guy's still hungry. He wants to take another carrot. So now the question is, did that Bore Pri Adama that he recited on carrot number one, does that exempt him from carrot number two? So the Rishalmi says as follows, or at least the way Tosfos read the Rishalmi says as follows, Boi Beruche Zimna Acharite. The person is required to recite a second bracha. The word boi, Tosfos here, is clearly interpreting to mean tzarich, which it means very often. He is required, tzarich levarech, pamacher. He has to recite a second bracha. Uparich. So the Rishalmi asks the question on itself, is that really true that if I'm eating food A, I'm sorry, I made a bracha on food A, and I never get around to eating A, I actually get around to eating B. It's the same food, but it's a different item of that food. Is that really true? You have to recite a new bracha. How is that different from a person drinking from a stream of water or the more modern day version of a water fountain? Perish. The Mevarach Lishtos. Hani Aziv Hanechavini Ninu. We ain't talking about Pabacheres. Wait a second. A guy is sitting by the stream and he says, Shahakal Niabidvaro. The Shahakal Niabidvaro is on the water that's in front of him. By the time he finishes that bracha, that's not the water anymore. That water is really downstream. It's the next drops of water that are coming. Well, the person sitting by the water fountain, we can have a shit trip to the bath guy sitting by the water fountain. He makes Shahakal Niabidvaro. By the time he finishes, that water's in the drain, down the drain already. It's the next set of water. Nobody would say you have to make a new bracha. What's the difference? Well, Mishan, the Gemara says, no, that's not the same thing. The Gemara says, in the case of the water, obviously he knew that water is not going to be there. When he turns on the water fountain, he knows that water that's standing in front of him, Bishas bracha, is not going to be the water he's going to drink. So that's obviously different. About to Musa, whereas in the case of the Tumusa, so he didn't know that the Tumus is going to fall down. So presumably his intent was on the first turbus, not necessarily on the second turbus. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. Again, at least the way Tosfos is reading the Yerushalmi, that's what the Yerushalmi is saying as a matter of a statement that Tzorech Levarach Boi Beruchei has to recite another bracha. Now, truth to be told, this din does not appear in the Bavli. That's what comes from the Yerushalmi. It's not a Bavli. But as we've said many times, a statement in the Yerushalmi is lahalacha unless it's outright rejected by a Bavli. There's no Bavli that talks about the topic. And we assume halacha that the din of Yerushalmi stands. So now Tosfos continues. And Tosfos quotes the end of Yerushalmi, a little bit of a different context. But Tosfos quotes, V'yomar baruch sheng from mechus yolim v'ed, mishum david brach levatala. He says, it turns out that when you made the baruch pri adama on the first carrot, and now we go in milsa retroactively, that brach was a brach levatala. So what do you do about that? You just recited about that. What do you do? No choice. I didn't plan to drop the carrot, but I ended up retroactively reciting a brach levatala. So the Rishalmi says you should quickly rectify it by saying Baruch Sheikh Machazul. And then Tosfos concludes, that is in fact the correct thing to do all the time. If you make a bracha matala, you should immediately try to correct it with saying baruch shem. Now again, this doesn't mean that lechatchila you can make brachas matala and just say baruch shem and call it a day. It means that it's a slight mitigating factor. It rectifies it a little teeny weeny bit. It's not as bad of a bracha matala, and therefore, based on this Yerushalmi, that's what that practice is. The only time that we invoke this as almost like a lechatchila. That's what the standard Ashkenazi practice, most Ashkenazi practice, when it comes to tefillin. There's a big machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, Maseches Menachos. How many brachas does a person recite when one puts on tefillin? So Rashi's sheet, based on reading of the Gemara, is that you recite Lahaniach tefillin on the Shalyad, and that covers you on both. There is no new bracha that's recited on the Shalrosh. And Rabbeinu Tam disagreed. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. You recite Lahaniach tefillin on the Shalyad, and then you recite Amitzvah tefillin on the Shalrosh. Why do you recite on each one, or why should you? That's a loaded question. We're going to actually come up to the sugya in a couple of sugyas from now, related to that. But that's the chalitza we shared.
So the shul. Right.
Baruch, right. That's right. Look at me, right. So.
Well,
it's tricky. I have to backpedal for a minute. If a person wasn't planning on eating except one carrots, then presumably you would have to recite another bracha. That's called nimlach. So we're going to reserve comment on that, but how much a person did or didn't have that in mind at this point. So again, our practice when it comes to tefillin is that we do, Ashkenazim do recite the second bracha about tefillin. We're a little bit weary because according to Rashi, that's a bracha v'atala. So the Ramah writes, our custom is to say baruch shem. So if we really held it was an absolute suffix, we wouldn't say it and rely on Baruch Shem. Baruch Shem is not a matter to say Baruch Eslamatola. But we really pass it like Rabbeinu Tam. The only thing is that it deference to Rashi, so we throw in a Baruch Shem for good luck. So that's based on this Yerushalmi. So the bottom line is Yerushalmi makes this statement that a person made a bracha on carrot number one, drops carrot number one, he wants to see carrot number two, he is required to recite another bracha. Now this is all assuming that that's what the Yerushalmi said. So I want to just read out the first line of Yerushalmi again. Just let's go back to the top of the Tosafot for a second. Yesh b'shal hech debarecha tumusa lemichle, v'nochu miyad v'shachach achrida, boi bruchay zimna achariti. That was the girsa that Tosafot said, that the word boi is where it is, and boi is translated in that context of the sentence, he has to, he needs to, tzarich. There are other Rishonim who had the word boi about four words before. But the Rishonim says it as follows. But heichi deboyer tamusa lemechle v'nafal miyadi. The word boy is an introduction to that statement. The word boy is not a statement of this is what you do. Rather, the word boy means like ibayluhu. What is the din? Let's read it again. It's hard for me to read it because it's not what it says. But I'm going to make believe I'm reading it. Odesh Rishonim boy. Here's the question. Heichi deboyer tamusa v'nafal miyadi gezachrida. Do you recite another bracha or not? So according to the second reading of the Rishonim that has the word boy six words earlier, it is not a statement of the Rishonim that you make another bracha. It is actually a query. It's actually an unresolved question in the Rishonim whether you recite another bracha. And what would we do if it's an unresolved question? That's going to be a further question. What do you do when you have unresolved questions of brachas? So hopefully it's Shabbat on Friday. We'll continue this nekuda of how to read the Rishonim in the alternate manner. At least the way Tosafot read the Rishonim, it's an absolute soap dumber end of the stage. That's Shabbat on Friday.
Have a good day. Have a good day.
That's better. So, what if a person is in that case, you don't have to. It's not something.